Hi everyone, welcome to episode 126 of Bucks UK TV. We will do our best to be wide awake, as I was saying earlier to these guys. Stuart, Scott, Wayne, hello.
Oh yeah.
None of us have had much sleep, I'm afraid, so we'll try our best. But we are buoyed by the fact that the Bucks won, the Bucks are through, the playoff run continues. Scott, let's maybe start off with you. Last night's game against the Eagles, how expected was that Bucks performance, do you think?
Well, I think for me, I don't think it was expected at all. I had a bad feeling that it was going to be a bad night for us. I think after obviously what happened with the Eagles in week three, and then the way that we kind of finished off the season, the regular season, it just felt like it was one of those games where Philly started to slide. They sorted all their problems because it's now the playoffs, and they just normal services resumed. But thankfully, it was the complete opposite of that. And if anything, you would say it was probably actually fairly easy in the end.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Stuart, do you, I mean, so yeah, I think Scott makes a good point in that maybe it was easier than it might have been, certainly easier than it was earlier in the season. How much is this a Bucks victory versus an Eagles loss, do you think?
I'd like to say it's all a Bucks victory. Because I don't recall a game where I felt so relaxed all the way through this season. You know, it was just, there wasn't very many moments that we felt we were going to be under pressure or it was going to be, you know, a turnaround by the Eagles. Whilst we did play well, the Eagles, there was just something about them that was wrong. They just didn't look like they wanted to be there. There was a mentality that was missing. There was just nothing on the sideline. I mean, you just looked at the players. They had no, you know, they didn't, you know, they had no motivation, it looked like. Some of the tackling was just, you know, we waltzed through them. So it was bad. It was a very bad performance by the Eagles.
Well, they all count,
But
in years to come when they look in the
yeah.
NFL
But we
annals,
played well,
they'll
and
see
we can,
32-9 and they'll say, "Wow,
yeah.
what a screamer."
You can only play what's in front of you, and then we played a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. Wayne, let's start to then hone in on some of the Bucks areas, the highlights. What to you overall struck you as the biggest key to the Bucks victory?
I think the biggest key was the defense. They came fired up, they came with energy. They went after them right from the get-go and set the tone, the tone for the game. I was amazed at the difference between what they played, how they played this morning, sorry, as opposed to the last two games of the season, where you could almost say that they were shying away from being a defense. Everyone seemed to be almost waiting for someone else to do it. But this time we went after him. We got a good mix. We got to Jalen Hurts quite a lot, which was quite refreshing to see. Even with, you know, I think at one point we lined up six, dropped one back, and still flattened him.
Yeah, I mean,
It
three
just seemed to be
sacks really helped, I think. Yeah.
it seemed to be a completely different level of intensity there from the
Do you
defense.
think
But then
we ought to be grateful to the finger fairy for Jalen Hurts' hand or
I don't think so. It didn't seem to affect him too much. I think what affected him was the hearing the footsteps in his sleep. Every time he dropped back to pass, there was almost always someone there, or seemed to be. Whereas in the past, we've rushed everyone and their mother at him and not even come close to getting him. He seems to have sort of like almost like a force field around him that no Bucks defender can actually penetrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. But then I think all three phases of the game turned up this week, which was really good to see. You know, the
Yeah. Well, let's stick with the defense
yeah.
for a bit longer. Scott, Wayne's talked a bit about the passing defense and how they managed to get to Jalen. Let's talk a little bit about the Eagles' run game because that's what killed us earlier in the season, and they only managed 42, I think, yards on the ground. How huge was that?
But yeah, it was obviously a big factor, but that was one of the bizarrest things, because obviously we know that they ran for, was it 200 odd yards the last time? And I just remember watching that game, and the gaps between the O-line with our defenders was nowhere near Jalen Hurts, and they were just literally running for their lives all day, all over us. And then, like, it was just the lack of even attempts to rush, to run. It's like, you're kind of watching it thinking, obviously he's got the finger trouble, that surely they're going to try and keep the ball away from throwing it, and they're going to try and do that again to what they did the first time. But it was like they just seemed to persist on throw. I don't know whether it was like because of the finger injury, they're almost trying to say, well, it's not a problem, we're going to throw it a lot to really prove that. It just seemed really backwards thinking. But yeah, I think in the end, probably the most pivotal moment was obviously stopping that, the two-pointer with the tush push.
The tush push. Oh, I hate that name so much. I hate that play so much.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully that's finally put an end to all that talk about it. But yeah, I think that was kind of pivotal in the whole thing. The fact that the O-line wasn't even able to manage the play that literally was a foregone conclusion till this morning. But then I just really hammered at home how much better a job we did.
Yeah. Again. I mean, geez, obviously psychologically it was probably they were a bit of a shock. I think, is that the first time they've ever failed on that play? I think it might well be.
I heard it was 85% success rate this season.
Yeah, so that's pretty impressive.
And apparently, I think for me, we've stopped them twice.
But I think, Scott, for what you were saying, though, as a turning point in the game, obviously that went from hopefully it was just going to be an extra point to then we had, is it Izzian or Zylan McCullum? Someone was offside on the PAT, which then brought them closer and they were going to go for two. Scott, do you think that would have changed the game if they'd have got those 2 points?
I mean, I think through the whole game, we kind of thought there was going to be a point where the Eagles would turn up, and they just never did. I'm going to say that probably it wouldn't have made any difference, but I think it did have a detrimental impact on the Eagles, because obviously they're so used to getting that in. And psychologically, you started to think, if we can't even do that, which is like our bread and butter, then, you know, what chance have we got? But I think it was amazing from, you know, it was at Gaines to get so low.
Yeah, that was right, yes.
Absolutely amazing. But you just think it was a pivotal moment, because obviously they decided to go for it and ended up with no points. And in the end, that proved decisive. It's obviously happened again later on. They tried to go for the 4th and 5. So yeah, I think it definitely had an impact on the Eagles. But I still think, regardless of that, the way the game went, we probably still have won.
Oh, I think, let's hope so. Stuart, let's go to the other side of the ball. So the Bucks had possession for 34 minutes, which I think is more impressive than it sounds, given where we were in week 3. Kind of sum up to me, you know, the offense.
I think determination. You know, I think there was just so much determination in Baker's play, in White's play. In the coaching, going for it. You know, we went for it on a couple of, I think it was 2 4th and 1s, and we got them. I think we were just up for it and wanted it. And I think that's, you know, what led us through, to be honest.
And I mean, we've been critical of some of the Bucks coaching over the course of this year, but actually I saw coaches breaking out into smiles, and I saw coaches being intense as well. And I include Todd Bowles in that. So it kind of felt like it was across the whole team, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt it was a great positive performance from the whole team, and hopefully we can carry it forward. I mean, you know, there was a few dropped catches and that, but I don't think that hindered us too much. And I think one of the big ones was Evans catching, but then I think the next play or the play after was a touchdown. So I don't think the drops hit us too badly, but they're going to happen. But, you know, Godwin and Evans are always going to be marked, and that opened up some other players.
Yeah, Wayne, you talk about broken tackles. There were certainly some long plays And as Stuart says, there were some long plays that didn't happen because of overthrows or underthrows or near interceptions. I mean, Baker ended with three touchdowns and no interceptions. Yeah, I personally feel that's a little bit flattering.
There were a couple of those that we dodged about it a lot of times. We had a lot of luck on our side yesterday. Even like the Chris Godwin one. That was when he let that go, my heart stopped because I thought that is primed to be intercepted because it was a bit floaty and wasn't really at anyone. It was in that general direction that Chris just happened to be. Just going back to what Stuart said, I thought we played with energy and we were having fun out there, which is what, again, going back to the last two games of the season, we didn't seem to be. We seemed to be, oh, here we go. Now and as the score got bigger and bigger, the fun and the energy seemed to increase. So it was almost like the Super Bowl where the further ahead we got, let's just have some fun with this. You know, we can do no wrong. I thought it was really good. Yes, as Stuart said, we did have a couple of key drops that I think I counted five that were potential touchdowns that were if they'd caught them in stride. But in previous weeks, as I said, we would have just gone, oh, that's it. We can't do anything right, and just spiraled from there. But we didn't. We picked it up as Stuart said. Two plays later, can't remember his name now, caught the ball and literally ran diagonally across the field, weaving in and out of there, missed tackles.
Was that
and
the Trey Palmer one you're thinking?
Yeah, with their defense doing their best to take each other out, which I thought was incredibly amusing to watch when you watch it back, running into each other and tripping each other up.
Yeah. Scott, what do you think? I mean, Trey Palmer's a good point. Let's stick with the receivers because I kind of think Trey Palmer had a 56-yard catch out of two targets. And of course, the other target should have been a touchdown that he dropped. And you think, Mike Evans, yeah. He had 48 yards, three catches, but he had four drops out of seven targets. Cade Otton, eight receptions. I mean, you know, that guy should have got the ball in the changing room, but out of 11 targets. And how effective do you think the receivers should be? And do we need to be a bit worried about these drops or lapses?
I mean, I think if it was something we were seeing regularly, I think, you would be concerned. But I think I did read that apparently there was more drops than any other game in postseason last night, which is remarkable when you think about it. But yeah, I think one of those things, I think Baker, to be fair, put the ball where they should have been caught. And I think it's just one of those things. I mean, to see Evans have two slip through his hands like that, that's almost unheard of. And I think, I still think it's something that's a big problem. But when you see people like David Moore get a touchdown, who when he scored, I'm having to think, back in my brain trying to think, that name, because it's just like, these are the kind of players that are stepping up because they have to. But also because the top ones like Godwin and Evans are always, covered up. So I think it's great. I think Trey Palmer's been a revelation this season. I really like him. I think he's got a big future. And I think, as you say, Otton was terrific. Not just in what he does, catching passes, he's great, and, blocking as well. And I just think he did a great job last night. And as we say, they have to step up because, Evans and Godwin are always going to have, trouble getting open. But I think, to have that extra receiver outside them really making a difference.
Yeah, I think it's true, isn't it? You can cover one, you can might be able to cover two, but there are plenty more where that came from. Okay, I think overall then, I think we've covered offense, we've covered defense. We know the kickers are amazing. We know special teams is great. Stuart, I guess what I want to get from you is the balance of the play calling on offense and defense. It felt like on defense, we were still quite aggressive. On offense, perhaps a bit more inventive than usual, but still with a run up the gut.
Yeah, our runs did seem to, you know, we were averaging, was it 5.5 yards a run yesterday? I think that was mentioned, which is a massive improvement on what feels like the entire season, where it seemed to average one yard. And I just felt that the, you know, the runs were determined runs. You know, they really went pushing for it. So I think it was a good balance.
I think the phrase is angry runs, isn't it? Which in Rashard White put their defender down on one of them.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, so White had 4 yards of carry, which I think it doesn't necessarily set the world on fire, but at the same time, if you give him the ball 3 times, that's the first down. That's the important bit. Anything over 3.4 is where we want to be. And I guess play calling wise, we you know, we've done this all year long. We've been committed to the run. And I guess for some of the fans, it drives us crazy. And for others, we're like, you know, so much success throwing the ball, just throw the ball. But I guess we need to talk about the O-line, because I suspect Baker was probably a bit more hurried than he would have liked to be, wouldn't he, Ryan?
Yes, he was. He does tend to hold the ball for quite a while, which doesn't help matters. But again, he did, when it counted and when he needed to, he did find time to run, and he is much more mobile than Tom Brady ever was. So he can get out of the pocket, and there is always the threat of him running, even with a jippy ankle and dodgy ribs. He's still willing to go for it. But the thing that struck me the most was the first two plays this year weren't last night, but this morning, weren't run up the guts. They were passes. It's like, hang on a minute. We've now completely changed everything. And I think that contributed a lot to keeping them off balance.
Some swing passes. There was an outside pitch of a run. It felt like, I thought it was a little bit different.
Yes, that's a bit more inventive.
Yeah.
I think we have to give credit to Canales as well, because, like, you know, obviously we know that he's a running guy. He wants to be, you know, doing that more often. But he's realised as the season's been on that we're not capable of doing that at that point. So we've seen a lot of creativity in terms of giving it to White, you know, outside of the backfield, catching it and end arounds and all those kind of things, which has been quite good to see. But I think the fact that, as you say, we're able to say, well, okay, maybe we're going to try throwing it a bit more on first down, that's something that probably he doesn't want to do. But he's realising that with the players we have at the moment, that's something that we've had to do.
We seem to stop trying to use the run to open up the pass game and seem to flip it on his head last night. And that's what I felt, that we started passing and that did open up the run game a lot quicker. So I wonder if that's the plan going forward. I hope not. I hope I haven't just told the Lions coaches what we're going to do.
Well, if they're relying on this podcast for scouting advice, the game is already won.
Yes, they're relying on me. Just don't turn up.
Cool. Well, let's move on and talk about the Lions then. I don't know about you. I'm delighted we're playing the Lions, not because I think they're easy, but I probably didn't want to play the 49ers just yet. I mean, we know we're on the road, but luckily it's Sunday night. It's a reasonable 3 p.m. kickoff stateside, 8 p.m. for us. It's better than a 1:30 in the morning kickoff. Scott, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Rams-Lions highlights. It was 23-24, and, it, you know, with a bit of a dodgy call towards the end, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that game, and it was a brilliant match. And I think although the Lions were good, as you say, it could easily have been the Rams walking away with a win. So I think it's definitely going to be a tough game. I think we can... you almost can't take too much out of that game last night, because I think just the way the Eagles were, it was like almost one of them you can't really compare it to. So this is going to be totally different. And I think we're definitely going to have a work cut out for sure. But as you say, it's great to have that match regardless. And I think if we can get the difference from, you know, the game this morning, then you just never know.
Yeah. Stuart, who do we need to be most worried about for the Lions? Which side of the ball, which players?
I think we've got to be worried about St. Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure we you know, don't let him get the yards that he's capable of getting. So if we can, I think if we can stop the run game as well, we can hopefully force them to throw more.
I have to say, for me, it's David Montgomery is the, I mean, everyone talks about Bradford, Goff and the swap and how everyone's happy and it's, you know, wonderful, the best trade ever and what sort. For me, I think the Lions are a running team. I know the stats don't necessarily agree, but I think it's similar to the Bucks. They rely on the run as the basis for everything else, to buy them time, to give them space.
I'm hoping that what they say about Goff is true, that if he throws too much, he'll give the interceptions away. I think, you know, if we can stop that run game and force him to throw more, then we can capitalize that and with a pick six or two. I mean, that's just dreaming, but
well, we haven't had any turnoffs this year, have we? Turnovers, sorry.
Not as many as I'd like, but yeah, you know, that's I think if we could do that, we've got a chance.
Wayne,
I was going to say, for watching the game today, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think scares me. A lot of his yards and his big plays were right into the area where our zone defense is particularly soft. And then you're reliant on open field tackles to bring him down. And I don't think open field tackling is our forte. Hasn't been for the last, I don't know how many seasons now. Running game, I watch that. Yes, it's quite good, but we are good at stopping the run. I think the answer is just to get as much pressure on. Do what we did to Hurts. Just get after Goff and just keep the pressure on, because he did seem very rattled when once they started getting to him. Sort of in the second half, it was quite noticeable, his drop off. That was it really. But yeah, the centre's what scares me, I'll be honest.
So how do we stop this Lions offense then?
I think tighten up the holes in our zone, which I know is a big ask, because like I said, we've been doing it this for a number of years now. And I think just get to him, just pressure him and keep consistent pressure. But we, unlike the Panthers and that, we actually have to get to him. I think that's the thing. That's what we did very well yesterday, was we got to Hurts, and I think that's what we've got to do again, is we've got to get to Goff.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, there were some times yesterday I felt like when we were aggressive, but the blitz didn't quite get to its target, and we paid the price. I mean, the stat line that stands out for me, obviously, is Jamil Dean leading the team on tackles. And even more than that, though, Devin White didn't get a single solo tackle. He had two assists. So kind of, do we need to be worried about the D, do you think?
Yeah, I think that was a really surprising start to hear that about Devin White. But I think it's I think it's one of those things that that's the way we play, and I think it'd be dangerous if we try and go any other way. I really think that our best chance of beating the Lions is probably the same chance that we could end up getting annihilated. But you have to be aggressive. You know, I think if we just sit there and play off them and play soft, we're just gonna go up and down the field, and it's just gonna be, you know, one of those games that we really have to try and stick to the blitz, try and go for it and see what happens. I think a bit of what I said last night on the forum, I think it's, we have to try and be aggressive as well when we're on offense. I think the idea of just settling for field goals is something that's going to work. You know, we saw how easy it was for Detroit to rack up three touchdowns against the Rams. So I think if we try and get into that game, we're just going to be, it'll be a slow defeat. Our best way of getting the victory is really to go for them. But as I say, that does leave the danger of potentially getting destroyed. But I think that's, in playoff football, you have to try and take the chance.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Obviously, you mentioned the forum. I should say, obviously, all of us were on the forum last night, stroke this morning. It was the largest forum thread we've had of this year. So I think that's testament to the excitement we had watching that game. But I think you're right. I think I saw the Lions, you know, they are good at moving the ball. It's kind of as close as to a West Coast offense as you get these days in the NFL. They just keep chipping and chipping and chipping away, and down the field they go. And that bend and don't break thing probably isn't going to faze them, because they don't take many shots in that sort of traditional sort of way. It's a lot more play action or sort of engineered shots. So I think you're right. I think we have to make our own luck. Stuart, let's move to the other side of the ball then. So in order to beat this Lions, it sounds like we're going to have to score some points.
Yeah, I think we need to, you know, match them point for point almost. But I think if we can play like we did this morning, I think we've got a chance. You know, I think if Baker continues his determination and the use of White recently, I think has been really good. I think we need to just continue and attack, as Scott said. I don't think we've got anything to lose. You know, I think we're in that nice position where no one expected us to get to the playoffs. No one expected us to win last night. And to be honest, we're not going to be expected to go to the Lions and come away. You know, they've got a much better record than us this season. They're one of the favourites. We aren't. So we've got nothing to lose. We can go for it and enjoy, you know, the occasion.
And if you're calling play, Stuart, what's the first play from scrimmage to set the tone?
If I'm calling plays, we're in trouble. A deep shot down to Evans for a touchdown.
Okay, well, let's hope that happens. Wayne, what would your first play call be?
Oh, I'm tempted to say a deep shot, but I think to Evans again might be a bit predictable. Maybe Otten over the middle, caught in stride, nice big gain. Show them, you know, that we're not scared. I think we've got to come out fighting. I don't think we matched. Sorry, Stuart. I don't think we matched them point for point. I think we go for the throat right from the get-go and get a big lead. That way we can relax and then start to have fun.
I think the lead was really important against the Eagles and that it got them out of their rhythm. But, Scott, yeah. I know you're not going to call a one-yard run up the gut. What's your first play going to be?
Well, I do think it's... I think time possession might be important. So I think you want to try and, you know, stick to the run at least in some form. So I think in some sort of screen or end around or that kind of idea I've been doing recently with Rashad White, something a bit different. I think don't get me wrong, we are going to have to throw in Baker's going to have to be on his game, but I just think we have to, if you're too one-dimensional against a defense like that, so I think you're just going to figure it out and it's going to be a long night.
Okay, so it's money where your mouth is time, people. Now I need a score prediction. Stuart, we'll start with you. You can have the hot seat. Obviously, I it's a very brave person in a Playoffs Bucks podcast that predicts a Bucks loss. So you need to couch your words carefully.
27-23 to the Bucks.
Okay, so nice and tight. We like that. Wayne, what's your score prediction?
Oh, I did write one down earlier and I can't find the bit of paper now. It's a really difficult one because if we come... like with the energy, I think we could be 37-10. The sky's the limit, really. If we turn up a little bit flat, I'm never going to predict a Bucks loss. I think 18-12, something like that. A lot closer.
Okay, so low scoring. Mm-hmm. That, I think, yeah, that means the D's going to have to play its socks off to keep us in the game.
I think so.
Scott, your score prediction?
Well, I know what my head's saying, but I think I'm going to have to go for the heart and say I think we maybe get it like 24-21 or something like that. But I think it's going to. I just can't see us being able to keep the Lions down for any less than that. I think we're going to have to outscore them if we're going to get the result.
Do you think it could be like the Rams game where kind of whoever has the ball last ends up winning?
Yeah, I think it could potentially be like that. I don't think the Lions are ever going to blow anybody away. I don't think they're definitely going to get, you know, multiple scores on the board, and I just think it could be one that literally goes down, as you say, to that final drive. So you know, we have to try and stay with them right to the end.
good thinking. So I'm trying to, in my head, I'm trying to get this whole heart-head balance thing. So in my head, the way I express that is, I think if we play this game 10 times, I think the Bucks win it six of those times. So I do think, to coin a movie phrase, the odds are in our favour. I think we need to get out up front ahead in those, in my simulation, Kieran, Amazon advanced statistics. I think we win where we get out in front and aren't chasing the score. I think that's really important for us, our heads not to go down. I think it's 31-21 to the Bucks, and I'm hoping that, I suspect in reality that last, it might be tighter than that for most of the game, and there might be one of those garbage time things where as Rashad White tries to sit down at the 1 yard line to kill the clock, but ends up falling bum first into the end zone or something to rub salt into the wound. So that's what I hope anyway. So you've heard what we think the score is going to be and how we pan out. Please give us in the comments your thoughts. If you've made it this far, clearly you have to give us a like, a subscribe, a thumbs up, a follow, and all of those things. And make sure you listen and tell everyone else about it. This is going to be a big year for the Bucks. We're into 2024. As you heard last week, it's the Bucks UK's 40th anniversary. We're going to be over in Tampa, and we would love, dare I say it, to be looking at a third Lombardi Trophy when we walk into One Buck Place. I said it. I know we've still got a long, long way to go, but it's good fun to dream. That's the point of all of this. So Wayne, Scott, Stuart, thank you all ever so much. Thank you guys all for watching and listening as well. And we will see you next time, one way or the other. And as ever, go Bucks!
Bucks.
Go Bucks.